This is Tony the Forgotten. I will not be joining the Village Looney Tune today because I am off. Therefore, Tony the Forgotten is not here for this particular podcast.
Hey, this is Justin the Forgetful. Talking to you about Wi-Fi today. So we're going to cover a subject that about something that you use every flipping day, and your devices use it every day, and your kids use it every day. Pretty much everybody but your dog uses it every day. I don't know, when they start developing dog collars that get on the Wi-Fi, maybe they'll use it every day. Who knows? But this is a subject that, in my opinion, is probably one of the most important topics that we'll cover.
Well, with that being said, Ian will not also be joining the podcast today, and I am by myself acting like an idiot, as usual.
So, Wi-Fi. Okay, so there's a couple different things about Wi-Fi network that I think everybody needs to No. One, it is the most troubleshooted thing on the planet because it's the most important thing in your household. We get lots of calls with new potential clients that want to improve their Wi-Fi because of this problem. And two, it's the most... It's the problem that's diagnosed incorrectly the most. So in most cases, this is diagnosed incorrectly, and people just start throwing parts. They go crazy, and they go into Best Buy and I need better Wi-Fi, blah, blah, blah. So they get into mesh networking technology, or I need better Wi-Fi. They call their service provider, and then their service provider comes and puts these hockey pucks all over the place and repeaters, and it's still really, really, really bad. And then finally, they call an AV guy that knows about networking and knows how to fix such things. But it does not mean that you haven't been frustrated thus far with the Wi-Fi, with the situation of the Wi-Fi or your internet speed. All right. So first of all, let's cover a few different things. We're going to cover speed test really quickly and how to do one. All right. So I'm going to come to your house and you're going to meet me in the driveway and I'm going to have you run around the block and I'm going to time you. Okay. That is essentially what a speed test is. Okay. Most of you are going to look at me like I'm crazy because I am. Number two, the other half of you are going to say, okay, all right, when do we start? You're going to be that. There's that competitive guy that's going to, male or female of the home, or both, that are going to say, okay, when are we doing this? When are we doing this? Start rubbing their hands together and start doing hamstring stretches and getting their running shoes and shorts. And they're going to get lightweight, right? They're going to pull everything out of their pockets and they're going to hit the street running because that's what they're going to do to beat that time. They want to streamline and get the best performance out of this particular test. Now, that's exactly what an internet speed test is. It's you take your device and you say, hey, I want you to go from point A to point B and back, and I'm going to time you. Okay? Now, let's go back to the same driveway situation. So what I'm now going to do before you go off on this race is I'm going to get a backpack. I'm going to put 20 pounds in the backpack. I'm going to strap it to you. Then I'm going to hand you 10, 15 college books stacked on top of each other. And then I'm going to put a carton of eggs on top of that. I said, okay, we're going to do a speed test and you got to run all the way around the block without dropping the books or making the eggs fall off the top of the stack. And now you're really gonna look at me like I'm crazy. Absolutely crazy. And as well as you should. So, now, the reason why I said that silly thing is because that's no different than how most of you, I would say the majority of you, I would venture to say 90% of you are doing your speed test when you're testing your home network. And nobody is telling you otherwise except for this Looney Tune that's on your podcast or on your speakers right now. I am telling you otherwise. I am telling you to do something different. And I'm going to teach you how. All right. So this is the part when you want to get pen and paper or notepad if you're even halfway interested in how to perform an accurate speed test. So what we need to do is we need to pull stuff out of our pockets. We need to get our running shoes on. We need to get our shorts on, right? You got to do the same thing with your device to get an accurate number so we can see if you have a coverage problem. We can see if you have a network problem. We can see if you have all of the above problems, or you may not have any problems. You may just be doing a speed test with an overloaded device. If, ladies and gentlemen, if you have not swiped up on your phone to see how many things are actually running in the background of that poor little device, you're going to see lots of things. You're going to see the banking app open. You're going to see your lighting open. You're going to see all the, you're going to see Google open. You're going to see your calendar open. You're going to see all these different things open and running in the background. Guess what? All using internet. Right. And then you're going to go to Safari, and I want you to swipe up on Safari, and you're probably going to see no less than 50 to 100 windows that are still open running in the background using your phone or device's processor, your iPhone, your Android, your tablet, your PC, whatever you're running this silly test on needs to be streamlined and optimized before you can run this test. And yes, I am using my preachy voice. My brother's a preacher. It's all good. If you're interested in that podcast, it's called Biblically Speaking. Knock yourself out. He's amazing. So with that being said, what you need to do is close all applications that are running in the background on your laptop or on the device, or on your phone, your tablet, your PC, whatever that you're doing the speed test on. All of that affects the results on your test. If you have browsers open, guess what? That's a book. If you have another browser open, guess what? That's a book. Say you have two browsers with thumbnails on, guess what? That's 10 books, okay, that you're, that poor little device is carrying. And then if you have multiple applications, say you have QuickBooks open, say you have Office open, say you have Adobe open, say you have whatever, you name it, say you have it open in the background, guess what? That's the 20 pounds in the backpack that you have open before you do a test, okay? So what a speed test does is it's jumping into your network and it's downloading a packet of information and turning right around and re-uploading that packet of information. Therefore, it's going out, and then it's coming how fast it can bring it in. So therefore, I'm going away from you, and now I'm coming towards you. That's what a speed test is. It's no different. And if you have all of these fun things that are going on in the background that you forgot to shut down, or if you got to put away, I call it putting away your toys. If you don't put your toys away, guess what? You trip on stuff. Your device does the same darn thing when you're doing a speed test. And this can affect speed test up to 50%. It can make your speed test and your internet speed test up to 50% lower if you do your test without shutting these things down. Now, some devices are better at multitasking than others. Sometimes it's a variation of 10%. Sometimes it's a variation of 15%. However, if you want to get your accurate speed test, that is step one. Make sure that your device is running lean and mean before you do your test. So step one, minimize all applications, all internet browsers, get, you know, shut them all down. If you're on a Windows machine, do a control alt delete and do a force quit of anything that's in there. If you're on a Mac, just go into force quit on the, if you click on the Apple, there's a section called force quit. Shut everything down before you do this test. You will see an absolutely see a difference in performance. One, with your device in general, ever, and then number two, you'll see a performance in that speed test that you're using. Whether you're using Okia.com or speedtest.net, whatever you're using, whatever your poison is, most phones have Okia built on them, or you can download the app. That's perfectly okay. Just make sure everything's shut down. So step number one, put away your toys, shut down all applications that can be used, utilizing memory and processing power. Whew. All right. Step two is also equally important. Step two would be to go into your settings, go into your find a network or wherever you go to find your Wi-Fi network to connect to. Turn your Wi-Fi off and then turn it back on. So what this does is it re-handshakes with the closest and the fastest antenna that it is in proximity of that it's going to connect to. That would be step two. That's equally important because who knows? You may have a multi-antenna Wi-Fi household, or you may just have a household where you went out in the backyard and you were streaming music and then now you came back to the house and it's still stuck on that slower network. That's what I'm saying. Shut your Wi-Fi off, turn your Wi-Fi back on, and then do your speed test. Number three, make sure you take note of proximity of your router. Okay, so if you're 200 feet away from your router, you're probably not going to get as fast of a speed test as you are if you're 50 feet away from your router. That's what I meant. Turn your Wi-Fi on, turn it back off, and standing in within, I guess, living room distance or wherever you typically sit to do that speed test after you've done step one and step two. Now, if you do that, do all of those steps, and you go through that method with me and you do a speed test and it's not within 30% of what you're paying for, you may actually indeed need more Wi-Fi coverage, or you may have a network anomaly or network issue. So if you're within 10%, say you're paying for a gigabit, and first of all, you're never going to get a gigabit download speed on your phone. It's just not going to happen unless you get into the 2 gig stuff, which we haven't got there yet. Stop cheating. Okay. So if you're paying for 900 download and you're only getting 400, that is not within tolerance if you're sitting, I would say, 50 to 100 feet of your device. Okay. If you're paying for 900 and you're getting 780 to 800, that's probably okay, but you may have a coverage issue. If you're paying for 900 and you're getting anything close to 900, meaning you're getting 850, 875, you're probably okay. If you're getting even in the high sevens, you're probably okay as well. But if it gets worse than that, if you're getting 100s to 200s and you're paying for 900, something is not okay. You may have a coverage issue. You may have an antenna issue that needs to be discovered. So the first mistake most people make is they'll call their service provider and say, I have slow internet. Their service provider says, no problem, Mr. and Mrs. Jones. I'm going to sell you faster internet. Let's bump up your speed. That's the first thing they do. Well, speed does not help coverage. Listen to me again. Speed does not help coverage. Just because you have a faster internet package does not help you get internet in rooms where you can't get internet. Notice I said that way slower. Speed does not help coverage. Okay. Repeaters piss you off, but help coverage. Okay. Most of these service providers are selling you a repeater system, meaning this little hexagonal hockey puck looking device that you plug all over the house And what it does is it's repeating what it's getting. Okay, so they'll put these things in little areas that have 2 bars worth of signal, and guess what? It tells you it has 5 bars because it's getting the 2 bars and it's telling you that it has 5 bars instead of actually giving you 5 bars. And you're still pissed off because you're sitting in that area now that says 5 bars, but your internet's still slow. That's the problem, is repeaters are repeating what they're receiving and rebroadcasting and telling and lying to you. They are lying to you in most cases, if not all cases, and that's how repeaters are working from your service provider. Now, if you've already purchased said repeaters, those repeaters can actually be plugged in. That's why they have a nifty little Cat 5 jack on them. They can be plugged in and hardwired, and it will 100% enhance the performance of that device. Without a doubt, it will enhance the performance of that crappy repeater system. Now, if you have coverage issues, there's lots of things that we can get to and talk about with coverage issues. There, it's not the end of the world. It doesn't mean you're just stuck with crappy Wi-Fi performance. It means you may need to spend a little bit of money to optimize. That's the key word, optimizing your network experience. Ladies and gentlemen, this is, you use this every day. This is more important than your theater room. It's more important than your multi-zone audio. It's more important than all the things, because this is what makes your household run. Your house runs on internet. Your kids run on internet. Your spouse runs on internet. And if you want to see all of those things at the same time, unplug your router, ladies and gentlemen, and they will all appear right in front of you just like magic. That's magic trick number 2. All right, so we've talked about the importance of doing an amazingly accurate speed test, okay? So, coverage. If you have a coverage issue, do not fret. The world's not going to end. There are plenty of people out there like Eero that does a great job. Orbi does a great job. TP-Link Mesh Systems do a great job. Ubiquiti Mesh Systems. Notice I said mesh systems. So, mesh systems can be used as a repeater and or plugged in and hardwired and used as an access point system. I absolutely love and adore those types of systems when they're hardwired. Now, if you live in an older home, say it was built in the early 2000s or before 2000s, that can't utilize network cable, this is about your only option, but it is the best option to use. You're going to see about a 30 to 40% loss across your home if your antennas aren't hardwired, but that's better than a crappy repeater system that you want to throw against the wall. So how mesh systems work is the antennas actually have built-in processors that communicate with each other and do what's called beam forming, which means they triangulate a signal based on the device that's trying to communicate with them, and it can do it in a simultaneous fashion. Whew. All right. So if you do your speed test and your coverage sucks, yes, we can fix that. If you do your speed test and your coverage doesn't suck, but it's still within tolerance, but still on the slower side, you may still have an issue. There are a few different steps that you can follow to check this out. Step 1. If you cannot remember the last time you purchased your network switch, the main blinky light thing that's in your closet or in your theater room or wherever all your network cables are coming to, if you cannot remember the last time you replaced it, replace it. If it's older than 5 to 7 years old, replace it. Why? Because it's the tires on the car. It's where the rubber meets the road. It's the hardest working device in your home network, and it's also the most neglected device in your home network. If you found a switch, that network switch laying around that you used in college, and you didn't just graduate from college, then replace it. Because that's probably the bottleneck and what's slowing down performance of your network. Especially if you have a gigabit network. If you are paying for gigabit, ladies and gentlemen. If you are paying, if you're one of those that went and jumped off the 2 gigabit train because it's the newest train to jump off of, then you 100% need network optimization. If you're using gigabit network, you need to go look at your switches to see if they say gigabit on them or have multiple gigabit ports and can do multiple gigabit things at the same time. That's very important. If you're using an old switch, doesn't matter what switch you're getting, doesn't matter what you're paying for, you're not going to get it because that switch will slow your entire network experience down to whatever's plugged into that network terminal. 100%. I guarantee it. Just like I guarantee the speed test thing, I guarantee that. If you have older network devices that are not gigabit compliant, I'm going to repeat that. They have to say gigabit on the device. If you have an older device in that system, it can slow your entire network down to whatever's plugged into that network switch. It will bottleneck that whole experience to whatever's plugged into it. 100%. Promise, guarantee, end of story. No doubt about it. It will slow your stuff down. All right. So we've talked about speed. We've talked about how to do a speed test. We've talked about a little bit about mesh networking. There's a whole deeper pond to jump into to how to get better Wi-Fi coverage. Do not buy it from your service provider. They don't know what they're doing. I will say this again. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know how to install better Wi-Fi coverage that will optimize your Wi-Fi performance. They don't know what they're doing. Unless you just, actually 1 out of 10 of them may know what they're doing. But in most cases, these guys do not know how to optimize it. They plug the stuff in. It says 5 bars everywhere. Okay, your coverage is better, but that does not mean you're getting the speed you're paying for. That's what this podcast is about. It's about getting what you pay for and network optimization. That's what it's about. It's about getting the best performance out of there, buying new running shoes, getting new shorts, you know, getting that streamlined, sweat-wickening, wind-resistant top, whatever, to go do your running in. You know, if you're a car guy, it's like looking at superchargers or better exhaust or better air filters. If you listen to what I'm telling you right this second, this will supercharge your network experience. I guarantee it. Again, if your network switch is old, get rid of it. If your modem is over 2 years old, replace it. Modems last about 2.5 years before you start, does this sound like you? You start having to reboot them once a month. And then it becomes, oh crap, it's hung up again. Then it becomes once every 2 weeks or 3 weeks. Then it becomes once every 2 weeks. Now it becomes once every week. Well, guess what? Your modem needs to be replaced. The circuitry inside of it is tired. It's been zapped too many times by your service provider's post when they've got a power surge. When they get a power surge, it zaps into them. If you have a store-bought modem, meaning Era Surfboard, Netgear makes another one. Netgear makes a good one. If you have a store-bought modem because you're not using the service provider modem and it's over 2 years old or 2.5 years old and you're having to reboot it more than once a month, replace it. It's old and it's going to go out on you and it's going to go out at the worst time. When the report's due or you're in the middle of a phone meeting or something, it's going to go out on you. It needs to be serviced and or replaced. Optimize your network. ladies and gentlemen, I have seen things as simple as your network cables slow down your internet. I have seen it happen. If you are using network cables that are in a giant cable box and they're all piled up and wadded up and all that good stuff, that can slow down your device. It can slow down your network. That doesn't mean go spend a billion dollars on Cat 7 cable, because those make a hill of beans difference unless you've got Cat 7 cable all over your house, which you don't. So that actually leads perfectly into the next topic, which would be gigabit internet. Is it worth it? Well, yeah, absolutely it's worth it. But you may need to go look and do, you need to go do an evaluation on things that are plugged into it. If you have old network switches that are distributing that network across your home, gigabit network's not going to do you any good. If you, and this means more getting into that next subject, which is 2 gigabit network. So now there's been a rash of things around the Woodlands and Spring area and Houston. I don't know about Houston, but I know it's up here in Montgomery and north of Houston, where the service fiber providers are offering 2 gigabit internet. 99% of you do not have the wire in your home that's going to utilize 2 gigabit internet. Yes, Cat 5e will do it. Yes, Cat 6 will do it. Cat 5 will kind of do it, but it will struggle. And what's going to happen is if you upgrade to 2 gigabit internet, most of your devices aren't going to do 2 gigabit internet. You will 100% have to replace your network switch in order for that type of technology to work. Without a doubt, you will have to do it, because most of, even if it's a gigabit rated switch, it's not multi-gigabit rated, meaning it can't push a speed fast 1000 Mbps or a gigabit, and you have to update that switch to something that's going to run faster than that 1 gigabit. Some gigabit switches are actually rated up to 10,000. Those are the ones you look for. Your modem, if it is not rated 2 gigabit to go over multi-gigabit, then it will not work with multi-gigabit. It'll work, but it's not going to give you the performance you're paying for. So if you're one of those people that bought 2 gigabit internet, I will 100% guarantee you that your switches are going to need to be replaced, and in some cases, your Wi-Fi antenna technology may have to be replaced. It is a thing, okay? Don't go pay more for it without calling somebody to evaluate it. And do not buy this silly mesh system that they're, we're going to go ahead and put this mesh system in your house because it's going to do 2 gigabit. Bull crap. All it is repeaters. It's hexagonal repeaters. They're going to plug into 110 outlets to just give you coverage, but it's not giving you 2 gigabit. Now, Google Home, Eero, Ubiquiti, TP-Link, and Linksys all make a 2 gigabit compliant product now, whether you're using 2 gigabit or not. Now, if you're one of those guys that wants to future-proof, if you're one of those guys that just wants to have it already in the home, that way when they buy the service, it's already working, all of those manufacturers that I just listed have a 2G compliant thing. It still doesn't mean you need 2G. It still doesn't mean your hardwire is going to work with 2G. Most of your devices that you can hardwire, even the biggest offenders like a Xbox or a PS5 or an Apple TV or any other Nvidia Shield, whatever, most of those devices aren't gigabit compliant. Or only up to gigabit compliant. So what I'm telling you is that 2G is now falls into what I call the 8K territory. Yeah, you can do it, and there are TVs that'll do it, but the infrastructure isn't ready yet to push on for it. So what I'm telling you is to spend less money and make sure that you have equipment that will utilize this extra bandwidth and this extra speed before you go ahead and take the plunge and jump off the deep end and make sure that you're paying more for that particular service. Now, gigabit internet, totally okay. I would still recommend a network optimization session with you to make sure your switches are okay, make sure your patch cables look good, make sure your Cat5 RJ40. I've even seen a hangnail on an RJ45 end slow the network down by 60%. I've seen it. That's what I'm saying. And that's what I mean by network optimization. If you want to hire a company to come out and optimize your network, what they should be doing is they should be looking at your patch cables. They should be looking at your Wi-Fi antennas and what you're using. They should be looking at your router. They should be looking at all of the above to see what we're going to do. And what a good installer will do is he'll come into your home and you'll hardwire directly into your router, unplug everything else, and he'll do a speed test on your router. And then what he'll tell you is he'll say, this is the fastest this particular device will run hardwired to your internet. And most of the time when you have an installer like that, they'll have a gigabit card. Most of them don't have 2 gigabit cards because they don't exist yet in most cases, but some of them do. I know Apple's working on one with the USB-C platform, but I don't think they have a Thunderbolt that'll go past a gigabit. But that's what I'm saying. If they're hardwiring into that and do a network pull downstream, then which they should be doing, then that is the fastest of what is coming into your home. Now, if you have an Eero Pro 6e Plus or a Eero Pro 7 or even I think an Eero Pro, you can do a speed test directly off your service provider and it will tell you exactly what's coming into the home. And in most cases, it'll tell you if you're paying for a gigabit, it'll say 934 upload, 834 download, or very rarely will it actually say 1,000, and that's okay. If you're within a few points of that hardwired to that first router, then that is 100% okay, and you're getting exactly what you're paying for. Now we need to distribute. Go forth, all devices, and seek internet. We need to distribute what's coming into your home and making sure we can distribute what's coming into your home with the equipment that is streamlined and is made to be streamlined and to do all the things. Whew. Okay, so we've covered speed tests, we've covered Wi-Fi coverage, we've covered product lines that'll do Wi-Fi coverage, we've covered the vapor lure that is 2 gigabit internet, and we've also covered where to buy your Wi-Fi antennas and coverage devices. Please do not get them from your service provider. I would tell you to go to Best Buy. If you're not going to buy them from a local, then go to Best Buy and buy these products, or go directly to the manufacturer's webpage and get them there. But do not get these things from your service provider, because, and here's why, your expert will not be able to manipulate those devices. That is a locked down system that only that service provider can manipulate. And if you do not want that type of experience, then that is why you would not buy them from your service provider. So all the things, all good things. So Wi-Fi, you use it more than anything else. Use your internet more than anything else. So why not make sure that it's running like a well-oiled performance car? I mean, you're not going to get on a racetrack without checking your tire pressure. Stop getting on the internet and complaining about internet and complaining about slow internet and coverage without talking to somebody, because there are things that you could be doing that are affecting that internet process. Now, If you have gamers on top of gamers on top of gamers and Fubos and Hulus and Vudus and all these things that are all streaming at the same time in your household, you may actually need faster internet. If you're a single person that just is using several devices at one time, you probably don't need gigabit Ethernet, but it's really cool to have it. I mean, when I say it's really cool to have it, as you're typing in things, things are starting to populate and do things for you because it's so darn fast. I don't even know what 2 gig internet would look like. I've never experienced that as of yet because, again, that is a new half-baked thing that only certain devices can utilize and jump into and do all the things. So, gigabit internet, though, is important. Gigabit internet is important for people that have multiples upon multiples upon multiples of devices doing multiple things across the home. Therefore, if I've got four to five TVs on all at the same time, streaming 4K video, and I'm streaming audio across my Sonos system in my house, and I'm looking at my cameras, and I'm on the internet with my laptop, and my wife's on the internet with the laptop, and I'm on my phone, and all this stuff, whatever. If you've got hundreds of devices on the internet, which some of you guys do, then having a gigabit internet connection is not overkill because it just allows a wider freeway for the traffic that's on that particular network. You know, the faster your speed, the wider the traffic, the more you can accommodate and the more things that you can accommodate in a certain capacity. But that is also Wi-Fi. That is also Wi-Fi and antenna dependent and routing dependent, meaning there are a lot of things that these Eero networks and these TP-Link networks and these Amazon networks, actually Amazon's Eero, so sorry, Google networks are doing to optimize your Wi-Fi performance because it's playing pass the ball with that particular device as that device sits in your hip pocket. So, if you're using older network devices, older Wi-Fi antennas, older net switches, older routing switches, all the things, if you're using all the things and they're just older, then they need to be replaced. They need to be replaced and they need to be optimized. That's what I mean by getting the most out of your internet performance. If you're using a $500 package antenna that you bought 8 years ago or 10 years ago, guess what? It's out of date. Your internet's slower than molasses. I guarantee it. If you're using a overpriced Arachnus antenna that you even bought 7 years ago, then guess what? It's out of date and it needs to be replaced. It will not keep up with the newer devices that you're purchasing, meaning your iPhones and your tablets and your doorbells and your cameras and all these other things that are running on way faster speeds. All of those things are going to bottleneck in communication and in some cases won't communicate if you don't slow that, or if you don't replace those items. These items work harder than anything in your home. Everything is communicating on your internet, okay? Everything is running through that network switch. These are things that are wear parts that as they wear out, your stuff starts slowing down and they need to be refreshed. Now then, my last ninja trick for the day on this podcast. This is the last one. My last trick of the day. How to reboot your network properly. If you are frequently rebooting your network, or if your service provider, or you're in one of those areas where your service provider just sucks and they keep frequently rebooting it for you and things hang up and things have to get unplugged, do it in this order. This works 99.9999999% of the time. In fact, as a matter of fact, if you call me out of the blue and you're having this problem, I'm going to walk you through this process. If you do it first, then you don't have to call, which that's, I mean, I don't care if you call or not, that's fine. But if you do this first, chances are you'll be able to solve your own problem and you will be the hero of your household. So this is where you get a pen and paper handy, right? Step one, unplug your router and or modem. Okay, this is for people that have service providing routers, whether it be Xfinity or AT&T. Unplug your router and or modem. Step two, unplug your network switches and network infrastructure downstream of that modem. So if you have a network switch, you have a closet with a network switch, unplug power. If you have a network switch in your living room, unplug the power. If you have a network switch in your office, unplug the power from it. Everything that's hardwired getting out to the internet, unplug the power from the network. Okay. Now, step three, plug your modem and or router back in. Let it come back online and go through its online process before you start plugging other things in. Yes, I said it. Plug it back in. It's 3 to 5 minute process for it to hook back to their servers, and let it come back online on its own before you plug other things in. Before you plug other things in. The reason why I say that is because if the other things are already plugged in, it's demanding instant internet while it's trying to handshake and reboot. And so that router is trying to route addresses, IP addresses to those devices, and it in most cases will get stuck either on your switch or your router will shut, or the thing, that process will shut down, and then you'll be back to square one. So let it do its thing, let it do the solid green light, let it do all the things and reboot on its own before plugging other things in. Now, once that process is complete, step four, now go plug in the first network switch in your closet and let it boot up. Plug in the next one, let it boot up. Plug in the next one, let it boot up. Plug in the next one, let it boot up. I swear, 99.9% of network problems are fixed by those four steps every time. Your technician is doing just that every time. If you want to save that $229 for somebody to come out of your house and do that, or $199 or $150 or whatever they charge you, do that first before you even call them on the phone. Because typically when you do that, it will fix your problem. Guess what? Your network will actually run faster if you do that, because everything's rebooted, it's refreshed, it's just like waking up in the morning and it's ready to go. Now, if you have a store-bought modem and router, then that process step changes a little bit. What you would do is you would unplug your modem, unplug your router, and then unplug everything downstream of that. You would reboot your modem first. Let your modem initialize, do all the steps, takes 3 to 5 minutes for it to come back online. As soon as that joker comes back online, plug your router in, let your router come back online, and then plug in things downstream and so forth. That's how you do it. That is Justin's, talking third person, that is my number one ninja, I'm amazing, I'm magic, I'm Harry Potter trick that I do when someone's home has a network problem. And this will fix it 99.9999999999% of the time. All right, sports fans, I'm done. That's a cast. Now, If you want a network utilization meeting, please call us at 281-296-6600. We are happy to talk with you. We're happy to discuss with you. If you're getting into 2 gigabit stuff, you need to make sure your wiring, it will accommodate such network speed. Otherwise, you're just wasting your money and it's not going to work. And it's a lot harder to upgrade your wiring than you think, unless it's a one-story house, and then that's way a little bit easier to do. If you have Cat 5e, you're okie dokie. If you have Cat 5, that's to be determined depending on how large your home is. But Cat 5e and Cat 6 in most cases will be okay. You probably won't get the full Monty of the 2 gigabit. But it'll still at least do gigabit stuff if your run, especially on Cat 5e, if your runs are under the 355, or Cat 5e is 385 feet, Cat 5 is only 300 feet. If you start going over those thresholds, then it slows down about 10% every 50 feet, or 10 Mbps about every 50 feet past that marker. So I would say if you're wanting to jump into the 2G, then have a meeting with us, call us, or have a meeting with your local expert if you're not local, or have even a phone meeting with us, and we can even do a consultation to help you out with that. If 1G is typically fine in most households, unless you're using Cat 5, then you may see a little bit dip. You probably will see a dip in performance even with a gigabit. But just keep in mind, most devices out there aren't using 2G and can't utilize 2G to begin with. So don't get your feelings hurt if you can't do 2G at the moment. Again, it creates a bigger threshold, wider freeway for more devices to do multiple things at the same time. But it's also router dependent. It's also Wi-Fi dependent, and whether those things can perform and behave in that fashion. All right. That's a cast. This is going to be a multi-part series. I'm sure I'm going to get a flood of questions about it, because again, this is probably the most important subject and podcast that we've ever done. I say we, I mean myself, or us in general, or us in spirit, has ever done. There will probably be a 0.5 version of this episode for you in the can, where we're going to actually talk to Ian and even Jason about cybersecurity and network optimization. Ian is the network guru. I literally learned everything I know about network from Ian Grain and my brother Jason. And then it just kind of exploded and went down the rabbit hole and became an expert in it. But these people would be the industry authority on that, in my opinion, because they just know it, eat it, sleep it, breathe it, and have done it for over 35 plus years. Even longer than I've done in AV. So, with that being said, there'll probably be a 0.5 version of this episode.
And that's your podcast.
Like or subscribe on Amazon Music, Spotify, and or Apple Podcast. Happy to have you. Happy to accommodate you. Most of you are already asking questions, and they're finding us on Define AV on our Facebook page. We're probably going to work on a Technology Rocks Facebook page, just so we can kind of split that traffic and make sure questions and things are getting answered. Feel free to call us if you want your own personal radio show. That's at 281-296-6600. General housekeeping, T-Bone is going to be at Comic Palooza on Memorial Day weekend. So that's the 24th, 25th, and 26th. That's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. He's also doing an event on April 13th at Cellar 24. He's doing a painting event. I think that's going to be where you're going to paint your own wine bottles or wine glasses. So that'll be fun too. The other thing that I've got is we've been asked a lot about wine and vinyl. So we are trying to update our AV equipment for that. There's a lot of our turntables are a little on the old style and boards are a little on the old style. So it's a lot like driving to Dallas with a carbureted vehicle. As fun as that is, we would probably rather have a vehicle with air conditioning that can actually do all the things and not have to retune it and recalibrate it every time somebody breathes. So Wine and Vinyl was kind of a science experiment between Tony and myself, and it kind of exploded into this thing. I think we did 4 volumes of it. It was a good deal of fun, so much fun to do it. So we're so looking forward to that. We just need a little bit more time to kind of recover from the hangover and equipment hangover and all the things that were associated with it. It's just a lot of fun. It got really we were working on the popularity of it. We plan on revisiting it soon, just like the podcast that we're doing as of right now. So it's one of those things that was just a good deal of fun, but we have to also talk to the event planner and coordinator too on that side of it. She stays really busy. I know she's doing recovering from some things medically and all that, and a lot of that, and we kind of put a pause on the Wine and Vinyl until we can get that equipment kind of sorted out and things like that. So but look for more announcements on that probably very soon. And that's a cast. DefineAV.com, Spotify, all that good stuff. Already said all that. Call us at 281-296-6600 if you have any questions or immediate questions about this topic. We're excited to help you. We're always happy to help you. And we can help you do all the things. So anyway, we'll see you when we see you. That's a cast. Have a great day.